It's nice to be together around this fire. Sometimes as we bid farewell to friends, we're feeling kind of sorry for ourselves that we're left behind, but I don't feel that way this morning, though I'm sure they'll have a good time. Now, I've already got my orders this morning, not to be too long and not to be too loud. Kind orders. Well,
joke, brother, joke.
Oh, I know that. But we need that. I was thinking, Mr. Aubrey Van Ryn said once, he said, some men's sermons are like the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and like the mercy of the Lord that endures forever. Sounds like them, doesn't it? Well, we'll not be that way this morning. Sometimes we do get a little loud. I remember sharing a conference with Boy Nicholson up in Connecticut, and they turned the speaker up because Boy has a mild, lovely voice. And then I followed, and they forgot to turn it down. And I'll tell you, I got it. The lady said to me, "You just about blew my ears off." Well, I said, "You blame these brethren for not taking care of the PA system." Anyway, we'll not do that this morning. So we're glad to be here. It's rather a sleepy morning. If you get sleepy, take a little nap, but do it quietly. We won't say a word. We speak about living in the days of the remnant days of the church. This is the remnant meeting. The majority have gone, and the remnant is here. And we're glad to have a little share with you. Turn to John's Gospel, please. John's Gospel. Four times in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus says, in speaking to his own, it's four times, "Where I am." The one we're not going to turn to this morning is in John chapter 7. You needn't turn to it. The Lord says, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." That's one. That's chapter 7. Now chapter 12, please. John chapter 12 and verse 23. We're going to speak in those three little words in John's Gospel, "Where I am." John chapter 12 and verse 23. "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." We heard about this yesterday, whether from our beloved brother in his able ministry. "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, there is a principle involved here in our Christian life, but the words distinctly, first of all, apply to the Lord Jesus. "Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me." And here's our words. "Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Where I am, there shall also my servant be." Chapter 14, verse 1. 14 and 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that," here we are again, "where I am, there you may be also." Now, chapter 17, the chapter we've been enjoying so much the last day or two. Chapter 17, the verse that Brother Nathan has referred to several times, verse 24. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me." Here's the words again. "Where I am, that ye may believe, behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Now, I think these are the four times in John's Gospel where we have the words, "Where I am." And that is rather significant because John is the Gospel of the great I am. Seven times we have the Lord Jesus brought before us as the I am. And if we take off the word "where," we have the "I am" here, "where I am." Now, chapter 7 refers to the unbelievers, the rejecters. He says, "Where I am, ye cannot come." But the other three refer to God's dear people. Let me put it this way. In chapter 12, the servant and his reward. "Let a man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be." Here we have the privilege of a Christian. "If any man serve me," a privilege to serve the Lord. We have the path of the Christian. "Let him follow me." We have the prospect. "Where I am, there shall also my servant be." and we have the prize, Him will my Father honor. The privilege, the path, the prospect, and the prize for the Christian in this wonderful verse. Here we have the servant and his reward. In chapter 14, just to refer to that for a moment, we have, and I'll tell you later why I use these words, we have the bride and her reception. I'll tell you why I'm using that word, the bride. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And in chapter 17, the children and the reunion, the reception, the reunion, if you will. Father, I will, he's speaking of the children, but he also now has given me, that's the children, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. The servant and his reward, the bride and her reception, and the children and the reunion. In these three portions where I am. Now, it is a privilege to serve the Lord. We have the principle of the Christian life in verse 24. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we live by dying, don't we? We ascend by descending. We become great by becoming small. This is paradoxical to the world, but these things are true. We live by dying, and as we die, we bring forth fruit. If we turn to Romans chapter 6, you know, it begins with the grave and ends with the garden. We are buried with Christ in baptism. We show that we're identified with Christ later on in Romans 6. It speaks of fruit and the holiness, the grave and the garden. That's what you have in John 19, a grave and a garden. In Romans 6, symbolically, a grave, the symbolic grave of baptism in the garden, and fruit is the result of the process of death. If there's no death, there's no fruit. There's no dying, there's no life. For the glory of God. That's the principle of the Christian life. And so then we have, as we said, the privilege and the path and the prospect and the prize. Now, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall he also my servant be. We all have the privilege of being servants. Sometimes they speak of those who are in full-time ministry, just put it that way, as the Lord's servant. I don't like that word. I am no more the Lord's servant than you are, your sister and brother. We all share in serving the Lord. Now, there may be a public sphere of service. That is true. There are those who are commended to the work of the Lord to spend their full time in the Lord's service, whether it's gospel preaching or what have you, ministry to the saints. But we are all servants of God, aren't we? We all share in this great work of serving the Lord, and we all have a part to do. You say, well, I do very little. Well, that doesn't matter. Little is much when God is in it. I read the story once of a thing that took place in the northeast coast of Scotland years ago before they had modern equipment. A few years ago, well, 20 years ago, I spent a number of months in the northeast coast of Scotland. Most of the brethren there were fishermen, and I learned a lot about fishing. We had the gospel meetings in the little town of Peterhead, Scotland. They call it over there Peterhead. A town of 14,000, and there's 200 or more in fellowship in that assembly. You should hear them sing, Wilmer. They sing very well.
I'm sure they do.
Huh?
I'm sure they do.
I had a job understanding them up there. They speak what's called a Doric, Scots Doric, and we had a job understanding them. But they were great men, and the fact that there were 40 widows in that assembly. And Peter had 40 widows. Their husbands had perished at sea. We tried to visit three widows every day. You know what that meant? Three cups of tea and all of it with it. We were hiding in the house till they went out to the kitchen and got tea. Three in the afternoon between dinner and supper. Anyway, we had great times over there in Scotland. And I saw for the first time a modern lifeboat come out. There was a distress call from sea. A ship was burning, and we watched as the men got on that beautiful lifeboat and got the news from the Coast Guard and pounded the wedge out, and out they went. Anyway, years ago it was different. They went out rowing the little boat, the lifeboat. One day, they got the news that the ship was distressed at sea. It was winter time, and the lifeboat, unfortunately, was just about frozen in the ice and sand. But the lifeguards got busy, strong men, to see if they could get that boat out to rescue those men out at sea. And they finally said, no, we can't move it. We'll have to give up. The little boy there always says, men, don't give up. And by this time, they were tired and a bit irritated. He said, I'll help you. They said, what can you do? You know what he said? He says, I can push a bit. And he got down with the strong men and began to push. And in a little while, there was a little movement, and they got the boat released His dad was out at sea perishing, and out he went. And the men were saved because the little boy said, I can push a bit. So we can all push a bit, can't we, and all share. Sometimes when we're speaking to young folks, we speak about the hand. And the hand begins to talk. And the thumb speaks up first. He's looking at me. He says, I can stand alone. You're dependent on each other, you four. But I stand out all alone. I'm very prominent. All right. The next finger began to speak. Well, I'm the finger that points the way. I'm the most important part of this hand. I point the way. And then this finger began to speak. What are you talking about? I'm taller than all the rest of you. I'm head and shoulders above the rest of you. Okay. What about the next finger? Oh, I'm the beautiful finger. I wear the ring. I'm the most beautiful finger on the hand. And finally they turned to the little finger. What in the world are you for? He said, nobody can do this as well as I can. So anyway, if we're little fingers, we can all share in the work of the Lord, and it's nice to share together in the Lord's work. The sisters can share in prayer and so on. Let me tell this incident in passing. A number of years ago, a young preacher that I shared with for many years in gospel work, some of you may have known of him, Mr. Paul Truvell. He died at the age of 38, and a great gospel preacher, one of the best I've ever heard. We left Philadelphia and started out for Houston, Texas for gospel meetings. The folks in the small assembly in Metallica, where Brother Sam McEwen lived, was nice, phoned us, said, Brethren, can't you give us a night or two on the way to Houston? Well, all right, we'll give you a night or two on the way to Houston. We arrived there, and the first night it was evident God was going to work. A soul was saved the first night. No credit to the preachers. Those souls have been anxious. And God began to work immediately. That's not always the case. In the course of our service of the years, we always found we had to go on about 2 or 3 weeks before God began to work. It's a little different today. In those days, you just started meetings and went on as long as God was working, whether it was 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks that we stayed in, so God was through. Anyway, God began to work, and there was, well, no credit to us, there was a real revival. In the course of time, we had the building packed and children sitting around our feet on the platform, what have you, and we never got to Texas. We phoned the brethren in Houston and said, now God is working here. They said, stay where you are. Wasn't that good advice? Stay where you are as long as God is working. Of course, today, arrangements are a little more concrete, and we're not criticizing that. Maybe they have to be. Anyway, here's what I want to tell you. Many souls were saved. Some in their 80s got saved who had heard Mr. Bradford preach 50 years ago in that area, from the early preacher in Virginia. You know, we found out there was 3 elderly sisters, all in their 80s. They'd been praying for God to send long servants to preach, praying for revival. Maybe the preachers got the credit, I don't know. Maybe they got their names in the magazine, I don't know. But those dear elderly sisters in their closet, in their little cottage, had been praying for months for God's blessing. I'll tell you, you dear sisters can share in the great work. We can all share at working together for God. Never think I can't do anything. Maybe like little finger, but we need that little finger, don't we? And so let us go on and do our little work for the Lord. And he says, let him serve me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be, the servant and his reward. And one day there'll be a reward for service. I like that story. You've heard it, then we'll pass on. Of the great doctor, Dr. Howard Kelly, who spent years as the head surgeon in the Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. When he was a young student, he was out in the country one day riding his bicycle, and he stopped at a farm. So the young lady came out, and he said, can I have a drink of water? She said, I'll give you a glass of cold milk. They just had done the milking. No pasteurization, I guess, in those days. Good raw milk. And so the young lady gave the young student, a glass of cold milk, and he took note of her name and so on. Years later, she's in that hospital for a very, very major surgery, which was to be a very expensive job. And the doctor was the surgeon, and he recognized who he was taking care of. And she came out well. She thought, now what about the bill? It'd be a huge bill. Finally, the bill came. And she nearly dropped when she saw that bill. Never pay it. At the bottom, she said, it said, paid for by a glass of cold milk, Dr. Howard Kelly. A true story. So, whether it's a glass of cold water or a glass of cold milk, our little service of the Lord will come. What is the hymn we sing? Deeds of merit as we thought them, he will tell us were but sin. Little things that we've forgotten, he will tell us were for him. So, the servant and his reward. Now, in John 14, Why do you say the bride? Well, I'll tell you why. There's a word here used in verse 3, I'll receive you unto myself, that's used several times in John's Gospel. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I needn't tell you that. You know that very well. But the word here is the word paralambano. You can get it in Mr. Vine's dictionary. Paralambano, and it's used 3 times in John's Gospel. I will receive you. Mr. Godet, an able commentator on John's Gospel, said it was the word often used at a wedding. And the literal translation would be this, I will press you to my heart. The word was used when the bridegroom pressed the bride to his heart. And that's what the Lord says here. That's why I say the bride in her reception. When the Lord comes, he's going to press us to his heart. You know what that means. For many years, some of us traveled extensively in the work of the gospel. And as we traveled around the country, we were always received with a warm welcome. It was never otherwise. And traveled from coast to coast in gospel work. We got a hearty handshake. Glad to see you. But after being away for 6 or 8 weeks and we arrived home, there was no handshake welcome. It wouldn't be worth going home for. There was a pressing to the heart. When we arrived home, there was a loved one at the door and a pressing to the heart, not a handshake. I said, that wouldn't be worth going home for, would it? Now the Lord says here, and I think it's literal, I'll press you to my heart. We used to sing a hymn down south a lot, for we spent 15 years down in Georgia in the gospel. And I'm not a critic of hymns because I couldn't write one if you paid me. When the saints go marching in, they loved it. And I thought, well, that's not just exactly true when the saints go marching in. We're going to be received by the Lord. He's going to be there. I'll receive you unto myself. He's coming out to meet us. We'll be caught up together. That's the reunion. The reunion takes place outside of heaven. Caught up together. And to be forever with the Lord. To meet the Lord, rather. A reception. And if we're not going too far, the Lord says, I will come again. And receive you, parallel manner, I'll press you to my heart. What a welcome that'll be. Yes, we're going inside the gates of the eternal city. Heaven is a lovely place, tearless place, timeless place, tombless place, and a tireless place. But best of all, we're going to be received. Sometimes we've had to go home to an empty house, and there's no fun. The house means nothing if there's no one there to receive you, isn't that right? The Lord is coming out. He's not going to wait inside. He's coming out to the porch outside. I'll receive you unto myself. I'll press you to my heart. The bridegroom shall meet. What a meeting that will be. Pressed home to his heart. I'll receive you unto myself. That's where I am. This is it. Where I am. Always be together with the saints, all right. But where I am, there you may be also. You heard about the man and the woman were married. She said to John, her husband, John, you think you'll know me in heaven? Oh, she said, maybe I will, John. But she said, you know what? I've been there 10,000 years, gazing upon my beloved Lord. I may turn and say, well, John, is that you? Well, there may be something to that. You know, we'll see our blessed Savior. And we'll see him first of all. I long to see my Savior first of all. And he's going to receive us. Isn't that nice? He's going to press it to his heart. And he's so glad to have his bride home with himself. Now, just a short word or two in closing. In John 17, I will say little about this because I'm sure our beloved brother Nathan will have some very nice things to say again on John 17, 24. Father, I will, and they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Isn't that nice? Be with me on Lord's Day morning and know we're with Christ where he is. And Lord's Day, there am I in the midst. He's with us on Lord's Day morning and that adds dignity to the remembrance feast, doesn't it? He sat down, come up also with him, with Christ in the remembrance feast. That's sweet. But what will it be to meet in glory and ever to go out again? I will that they also now is given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Here's the children. We've been reminded of the children are mentioned 7 times in John 17. With me where I am. And isn't it nice there'll not be one missing? You remember that scene in the Acts of the Apostles where it says that they all escaped safe to land. They all escaped safe to land. The end of Acts 28. And so in heaven there'll not be one missing. On earth, you know, there are many missing people as we gather together. As we get older, we're missing many dear friends we've known and loved for many years. And at every gathering, there's some missing. Some are away, some are with the Lord, some are sick. But in heaven, all at home, no more be scattered inside the veil. In 1955, we were privileged to be at the Belfast Conference in North of Ireland, and I'm not exaggerating, there were 4,500 at the Easter Conference in Belfast. 3,500 in the Grosvenor Hall and 1,000 in what they call the Minor Building. Two buildings. 4,500 in the city of Belfast. In fact, in the city of Belfast today, a city maybe smaller than Pittsburgh, there are 50 assemblies. In the north of Ireland, the conferences are smaller now, although they had 1,600 this last year. Anyway, here's what I'm getting to. For the first time we heard that song, we'll all gather home in the morning. Say, we didn't sing, just sat there and wept. We'll all gather home in the morning, and as we left that fair land to return home, and they gathered at the airfield, about 70 Christians at 6 in the morning, they again sang the farewell hymn to us, we'll all gather home in the morning. Not one missing, won't that be nice? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, and we'll all be there. Praise the Lord, we'll all be there. No matter how poor we are down here, we'll be there. And not one missing, what a gathering that will be in glory. And so these two little words this morning, where I am, the servant and his reward will be with him and be rewarded. John 14, the bridegroom, the bride and her reception. I'll receive you unto myself, but where I am, there you may be also. And John 17, the children and the reunion. All gathered home to gaze upon his glory. And be with Christ forevermore. The Lord bless us in the meditation on those words in John's Gospel, where I am. Let us pray. Our Father, bless thy word to our hearts this morning. We thank thee for the assurance we're going to be with Christ. We have enjoyed fellowship with him here below. So often on Lord's Day morning we gather round the table and we sing with Jesus in our midst. We gather round the board and he's with us. And that we know his presence. We sing, Jesus, Lord, we know thee present at thy table freshly spread. It's very precious. But what will it be to dwell above, be at home with the Lord, and the servant to receive for their reward? Where I am, there you may be also, him with my Father honor. Help us to win for a little service, a little while remains. And then the bridegroom receiving the bride unto himself, pressing us to his heart, welcome us home, what a welcome that will be. And then, thirdly, all the children gathered home, not one missing. The Lord says, of those whom thou hast given me, I have lost none. All at home, no more be scattered inside the veil. What a glorious prospect is ours this morning. We commit ourselves to thee now. Pray thy blessing through the day. Thank thee for these days and hours of precious fellowship we appreciate so much. Remember our dear friends who are away in this trip. Watch over them, our God, we pray. Give them a very happy day in spite of the rain. We know thou dost send the rain, and the sunshine, and the rain, and the weather's in thy hand. Preserve them mile by mile. Bring them home again. Give them a good time together as our dear brother opens up the word to them, and bring them back safely. We thank for answering prayer in connection with our brother Caulfield's son-in-law. How good thou art. Others are sick, we pray for. And finally, we pray for this stricken part of California. What a tragedy. This terrible earthquake. Likely many lives are lost, and many homes destroyed. O God, have mercy upon these dear ones. Through it all, we trust the sum shall be brought to thyself from this great catastrophe. Undertake, we ask of thee. Give us a good day together. We will meet again in glory, nevermore to part. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.